deliberately I'll make this presentation short. Hopefully, a little inspirational so that we can carry on with our absorption in the Holy Name. I think it's safe to assume that there's some expectation or hope that from our coming together like this there'll be some inspiring spiritual experience in the world today. Kirtan has become that kind of thing that people really like. Yogas and kirtan seem to have evolved one after the next. People like yoga because they feel good, and people like kirtan because they feel good. They don't really know what they're doing, but they feel good. I was thinking to ask Levon what the experience was, the feedback that you got from the people. Thursday night before we came here, there was a little home program, Levon's home, and some people that probably never had exposure to kirtan had exposure to kirtan. And what was the feedback that you got from them?
Everybody felt really good.
They didn't know exactly what was going on, but they felt really good. And how they translated that, Govinda shared with me, was becoming one. How sublime. Now how to, like, in other words, how to focus that good feeling, they don't have a clue. And they don't have a clue because they haven't had association with those that have a clue. That is, devotees who have received something. Not only kirtan, but focus. Where does that good feeling go? What is it that... what's at the end of the trail? What are we on this journey for anyways? What's the goal? So I thought I would read what Shukadeva Goswami says about that. This is from Canto 6, Chapter 3, Text 31. It's the conclusion of the whole Ajamila story, where the question that prompted the whole Ajamila story was Maharaj Prakshit's question, what to do to help people from having to experience hellish existence after this life. I was just reading some Srila Prabhupada's comment. Don't put it on yet. Oh, okay. Okay. This is what we do over here. But not yet. Not yet. Thanks. It's short. Verbatim, I can't remember, but the essence was if people don't fix their mind upon the holy name of the Lord, will they not have to endure hellish existence? And Prabhupada was very firm, yes. That's not... because this human form of life has a purpose designed by the Creator. It's to connect with Him once again. And if we don't, there's a consequence. Adho ganchanti tamasa. One descends again into the lower species of life and hellish experience. So, the chanting of the holy name was the remedy that Shukadeva Goswami gave at the beginning in chapter 1 of the 6th canto. Now in chapter 3, it's a summary. He's told the whole Ajamila story. Yamadutas explained everything. Yamaraj himself explained everything. And now, excuse me, the Vishnu Dutas explained. And Yamaraj explained to the Yamadutas, now here's Shukadeva Goswami summing. My dear King, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, The chanting of the Sankirtan movement is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe. Please try to understand this so that others will take it seriously. So, we're all looking for some experience. And another universal truth is that everyone wants to be loved and to love others. We feel that we have in our hearts the capacity to love others, and we want to experience love from others. Universal. No exception. Everybody. We have relationships with others. We want those relationships to be fulfilling and meaningful and substantial, not something that we have to deal with because it's not right. We all want, especially those relationships that are most immediate and proximate to us. We want. How can that happen? That primordial, universal experience of that fulfillment of our propensity to love and be loved. And the very simple answer is we need to repair that original relationship that we've damaged and then abandoned, our relationship with Krishna. And the very best of all means to achieve that is the chanting of the holy name. It's the primary means. It's the most auspicious activity in the entire universe, according to Shukadeva Goswami. And we've come together at a retreat to experience that. The experience is our relationship with Krishna. I mean, after all is said and done in our lives, that's what we want. We're busying ourselves so many ways because, you know, so many needs that we feel we have to fulfill, and so busy that we don't have time for the most important thing. So we're taking time out to do that most important thing. And if we can achieve a little progress in that most important thing, all other things will be nicely taken care of, better than just busying ourselves taking care of those so many things. Just this one thing. This is a definition given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about what faith is. Faith is by achieving one thing, all other things can be accomplished. All other desirable things can be accomplished by achieving one thing. That's this magnifying glass, the focus. So why are we here? To experience beyond our everyday worldly life where we're busy and somewhere in there goes chanting and busy. Because we want to be responsible people and do responsible things and do it in a responsible way and work on our competencies to do those things nicely, and we're so busy doing those things we don't have time for the primary thing. Life passes us by. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs in Sharanagati. Literally, he describes that he was born in an aristocratic family, and surrounding him were persons who were pampering him and praising him, and he achieved this and that and the other thing, and now at the fag end of my life, the real purpose of life has eluded me, and it's too late. My mind is feeble. My intelligence is dulled. I've wasted my life. We'll go there. Let our lives not end up like that. And that means making decisions. decisions now, free will choices now, that this one most important thing takes the priority position. I want to read a nice translation from Bhaktivinoda Thakur of the fifth Shikshastakam verse. Just review very quickly the Shikshastakam verses that we did discuss. The first verse is impetus for chanting to nurture our faith in the glories of the holy name. A stage of anartha nivritti, where one wants to focus, not just take the chanting, but absorb ourselves in chanting by proper hearing, without offense. That means with attention. The stage of humility that tells us, from that position of humility, I need great mercy, and from great mercy, abandoning all other shelters and just taking shelter of Krishna. I don't want. I only want your causeless devotional service. So, Shikshastakam number 5, Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavam Budhau Kripaya Tava Pada Pankaja Stita Duri Sadrisham Vichintaya. Here's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's paraphrasing of that verse. And as you hear it, listen, it's in the first person singular. So, I, he's speaking. So, think in terms of yourself when you're hearing. This is taste, where humility is amplified, the intensification of hankering or the need for mercy. Krishna, please bestow your mercy. Strengthened by humility, wishing to attain his shelter. O son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your servant. But as a result of my previous activities, I have fallen into this terrible ocean of material existence. Lust, greed, anger, envy, and all the rest are my adversaries. They are my enemies. They wait in the waters of this ocean of material existence like big fish ready to swallow me up. Waves of my hope, material expectations for happiness. Waves of my anxieties. It's not going right. Toss me here and there, making my life miserable. Lashing storms of bad association add further suffering. In this condition, therefore, I see you alone as my shelter. I now and then see some small bunches of weeds floating by. These are the weeds of karma, jnana, yoga, austerities, etc. I try to catch hold of them to help me as I am ravaged by the storms of my fate in this ocean of material existence. But has anyone ever crossed this mighty ocean of nescience by their strength and trying to swim across this ocean? Some have reached out to grab the weeds for support, but unfortunately everything, including the person himself, sinks like dead weights. Factually, I can see that there is no hope for shelter other than your unlimited mercy. The sturdy boat of your holy name is the only means of crossing over the dangerous ocean of material existence. Soberly considering these facts, I beg for the invincible boat of the holy name from my Guru, which he gave me by his causeless mercy. O Lord, you are the renowned protector of your devotee, those souls surrendered unto your lotus feet. Therefore, please accept this homeless, destitute, this poverty-stricken person who has no wealth. Cleanse me of all my faults and consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. So, the going further, remember this term, liminal space, going into that gap, that's where our practices conventionally are, and where we want to be, we know we should be, we aspire for that. Entering into that space, closing that gap, is this plea for mercy from a position of humility. I want to read again our great Acharya Sanatana Goswami's statement about his relationship with the Holy Name and thus his experience because of that relationship with the Holy Name. Srila Sanatana Goswami describes his own relationship with Harinam. It is everything to him. Nothing else is important. For him, Harinam is the nectar of immortality, the happiness of true liberation, countless times greater than the satisfaction of impersonal mukti. Harinam is also greater than the bliss of Vaikuntha. It is sweeter than all other attractive things. It is Sanatan Goswami's very life, an only ornament, a limitless reservoir of auspiciousness, the entire focus of his attention. So we spoke some things yesterday about the offense, the offenses in general, and offenses can be removed by achieving this one removal of offense, inattentiveness. So attentiveness. One approach to that attentiveness is one mantra at a time, as you heard the description. The phrase was used, slowing the mind down. Premadrangi mentioned it several times. And this is a practice, or a principle, that traditions in the world have when there's an approach for spirituality. How to, without controlling the mind, there's no question of spiritual progress of any kind. Without controlling the mind, but the mind is very difficult to control. So to bring the mind to a position of focus, give it something that's very, very meaningful and attractive, and where there's an experience. The other side of the experience is a relationship with the most merciful master of all, who we have forgotten. And we're trying to come out of the slumber. And meanwhile, just using other metaphors, like Prahlad Maharaj, this material existence is like a dark well filled with snakes. That's not a nice place to be. A blind well filled with snakes. And he prays, Narada Muni very kindly found me there and picked me up. How could I possibly abandon his association? Or the other metaphor yesterday, blazing fire of material existence. These are metaphors, like the ocean, with big fish ready to swallow us up. Big waves. So, blazing, what do you do when you're in the middle of blazing forest fire? It's hopeless. But by mercy, that burning existence can be extinguished by the mercy of the chanting of the Holy Name. And the deliverer of the chanting of the Holy Name is right here. It's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by his side is the most merciful Lord Nityananda, who is the giver of the pure holy name. And his confidential servant is Srila Prabhupada, who very liberally, in the mood of Lord Chaitanya, gave the chanting of the holy name to one and all, without consideration of qualification or disqualification. Just by mercy. So if we want mercy, it's accessible. So to go into that liminal space, it's in addition to chanting, it's pleading for mercy. Very nice prayer. We can, while chanting, absorb our feelings, chanting in a feeling way. This is one of the things that commonly is asked, when will that time come when I'll be able to chant with feeling, because it's I'm chanting, but it's mechanical. So we want to go from this space to that space, chanting with feeling. These lords can give us that full feeling if we want it. We just plead to them. We put this in a call for great mercy. And Tulsi Maharani, we know that Haridas Thakur chanted before Tulsi Devi. Why? Because Tulsi is the bestower of bhakti. She's just sitting there, very peaceful. But she's very merciful. She bestows bhakti. The prostitute who came to engage by Ramchandra Khan to have Haridas Thakur fall down, when she became, by his influence, also a devotee of the holy name, his instruction was, sit every day just as I have been doing by Tulsi Devi. Just being near Tulsi Devi, even if one doesn't understand what to speak of, if it's an active process, pleading to Tulsi Devi to please give their mercy. So here's that picture. Oops. Don't know how to go full screen. Like these little birds who are dependent upon their sustenance from their mother and father bird, we're also dependent. I was on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada once. It was in Brooklyn Battery Park. And it was the end of winter, the beginning part of spring. So there was still some ice. There was a pond. And we walked over to the edge of the pond. And there were some ducks. So the ducks at the pond, what do they do when a group of people come over? So Prabhupada pointed his cane to the ducks and said, what is the lesson we have learned today? Everyone didn't know what to say. And Prabhupada's point was, the duck that quacks the loudest gets the bread. So which amongst us are going to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy today? The one who wants that mercy. Not just a little, a lot. And why? This material existence is a terrible place. Our conditioned consciousness is our greatest enemy. Not something outside. It's our, as we were hearing yesterday, the mind. This other entity that has a will of its own and doesn't want to go to Krishna. But it doesn't want to go to Krishna because we don't sufficiently want to go to Krishna. We want this loving relationship without a relationship. We're impersonalists. Nirvishesha shunyavani paschyachadi satadi ne. We want to become one with that blissful experience without the relationship of he who is the master. Or as Prabhupada said, we want the kingdom of God without God. Meanwhile, it's a blazing forest fire. Or, in this example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, great ocean with great waves, and we're in the middle of the ocean. We're not going to get out of this situation unless someone comes to rescue us. Try to swim to the other shore. Krishna, please help me. So this other BGG painting, calling in this, Krishna, please pick me up from this ocean of material existence and place me as a particle of dust at your lotus feet. I am your servant. But I've abandoned that service. I'm so busy with my material existence. I've forgotten you. Now by some mercy has come into my life. By merciful founder Acharya of our international society, and his teachings are there, and his devotees are there, and the practice of chanting of the holy name is there. Please give your mercy. Oh, Lord Nityananda, the giver of the pure holy name. I have no qualification except I'm the most fallen, but you're the most merciful upon the most fallen. Please give me the pure holy name. So in the assembly of the devotees who have come for that experience or furthering our experience of chanting the holy name, let us call out like that. This Krishna, please accept me. It's directly in this translation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's translation of Shikshastakam 5. It can be very simple. Just, please, I want to restore this relationship with you. But you can take it further and further, and in the most confidential sense, please accept me in your confidential service. Oh, Srimati Radharani. Prabhupada is described like this. Radharani is very merciful. If someone comes to present a flower for Krishna, and if they give the flower to Srimati Radharani, and Radharani thinks, oh, this devotee is so sincere. She goes to Krishna and says, she's better than me. Please accept this flower from them. Like that. We're dependent upon that mercy to restore our relationship with Krishna. It's not our own effort. Effort must be there. But it's not simply upon our own effort. It's this mercy. So call out like that. And the weather, let's see what happens with the weather. Maybe we'll all have to stay inside and be in each other's association the whole time, calling out together. Maybe the weather will change and circumstances will be different. So a couple of practical points. From the end of this class forward, we'll observe Mona. Anyone not know what Mona means? Silence. I mean, the chatter of the children, what can you do? But this is a concession. Practically speaking, Japa retreats, like one of the rules is none of this. With the idea that we can simply focus on one thing. And with children, you can't just focus on one thing. It's your children and then the other thing. But as far as possible, those that are caretakers of their children, help someone if the weather clears. We have some place, some facility. Nandasuta, are you ready for your logistical? Oh, you're going to do it? Okay. He wanted to do some logistical things. You know where he is? Nandasuta, where are you? Some things about the schedule and registration and cabins and children. As we go along, at a certain point, you have your schedule. You want to do your announcements?
Sure.
Okay. So at a certain point, those that are not going to be completing 64 rounds will get together somewhere depending upon the weather. If the weather permits, we'll meet over here in the amphitheater. If the weather doesn't permit, we'll inform you. We'll break Mona to inform you. But if it's the weather permits, we'll be over there, so we won't have to break Mona. Ratha. Control the tongue is the principle of Mona, and so just focus on the holy name and in a prayerful mood. The mission of our coming together, ideally and hopefully, so our chanting can enter into another realm after we leave here, tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Okay, so logistical.
Hare Krishna. And let's hope and pray that the sun shines a little later on. And we'll have a breakfast at 9:30. And a few other things. A lot of kids are here, and I'm sure they're not happy with this day. So cabin number 6 and 7. Just a minute, let me see. 6 and 7. Okay, 7 and 8. Cabin 7 and 8 has an arrangement for little kids. And Mukunda Prabhu would know later on would be able to teach Mukunda or harmonium to little older kids, 8 and above. So kids
where?
Are some, in one of those cabin only. Or Mukunda, where is it? Prabhu, can we put in a, can we arrange something on this cabin across? Is it okay? So Mukunda Prabhu would be there in this cabin. I think it's 24 or something. 32 and. The teachers can work out the time where the elder kid needs to go with them. And the other thing that's very critical and important, we have to check out at 11 o'clock tomorrow. And the way they're hoping that, you know, even the garbage that's inside the room, the trash cans and all, has to be emptied out. If there's any water on the floor, in the bathroom and all, it needs to be cleaned up. The wash basin needs to be cleaned. The way we walked in, the way, what condition it was in, please keep that condition when we walk out. That way, otherwise, some other group is checking in right after we leave. And, you know, we don't want them to have a dirty place. So, also, we'll need some help cleaning the kitchen and empty all the trash cans and other things before we leave. So, keep these little things in our mind, and if everybody pitches in for a minute or two, it will become very easy for all of us. So, Hare Krishna, and 9:30 is the breakfast. We'll serve here because it's raining, so we'll open up this door, and you'll be able to take your plates and come here and sit. Hare Krishna. Jai.
Harinam Sankirtan Ki
Jai
Nittai Gaur Pemanandi
Jai.